Welcome to the Enlighten Up Podcast. I am your host, Nicole Frolic, and I invite you to cozy up with me each week as I explore all aspects of the spiritual journey, spiritual biohacking, and expanding the mind beyond this reality. Remember that the collective awakening can start by planting one seed. So thanks for being such an amazing audience and sharing these shows with your family and friends. So without further ado, let's jump right into the episode and find out what we're discovering today. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Enlighten Up Podcast. So happy to be back here with you guys this week. I hope you're all doing really well tonight. I am excited to have a very new guest to the show. I'm sure many of you are very familiar with him. Peter Maxwell Slattery is joining me tonight. He is an international best-selling author, speaker, and educator, assisting with spiritual development, self-discovery, connection to spirit guides, soul family, purpose, balance, and joy to the earthly experience and God within. His ET experiences started at an early age and continue to this day with hundreds of witnesses to events. His experiences with extraterrestrials have led him to help people and groups make ET contact themselves. In addition to healing and tapping into their own abilities, he is also running the ESETI Australia, an affiliate of James Gilliland's ESETI in the States. Pete, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Yeah, good. Good to connect again. And thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's really good to connect with you. Thank you for coming on the show. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. It was really interesting connecting with you last week when we were kind of discussing what we're going to talk about today. And I really kind of wanted to go somewhere that you haven't really gone before. And we're going to kind of do that today and take people. Well, we're going to stretch everyone's mind tonight, aren't we? Let's just put it mildly, guys. We're going to stretch your minds. So how's everything going over there at the ESETI Australia Ranch?
Yeah, so ESETI Australia is located at Jaya Sanctuary, which is a place that I bought, and I'm sort of just getting things up to speed. I hope to open in September. So, yeah, we've had contact crafts flying over, as well as just working 24/7. If I'm not doing readings or anything like that, I'm out on the property mowing lawns and gardening and setting things up. So it's the winter at the moment, so it's a little bit chilly, but beautiful days, so can't complain.
Well, yeah, no, it's great to have you here tonight. And, you know, I'm curious, through working with some of your clients, have you noticed a shift just in general with what your readings are coming through with people, the messages for them and how they're being guided? Are you seeing that shift mirrored through the readings?
I do. This is something, talking to other well-known psychics and remote viewers and people that do similar work to yourself, there is sort of, I won't say with everyone, but there is more common stuff coming up in the readings now more than ever. A lot of, we could say, integration of the higher self, upgrades happening. One thing that's coming up a lot is for people to pamper themselves and sort of take that time out and try to just let go of things, because doing pleasurable and grounding things, exercise, relaxing, it's integrating what the higher self has got to, I guess, integrate into the physical body as they go through these progression of upgrades. That's just sort of something off the top of my head, but I am seeing this sort of mirroring. So, and it's not just me, like I said, I'm sure you're seeing it. And I've had other psychics that come to me for readings, and they're even telling me afterwards, you're spot on. But it's funny because my clients are getting these similar messages and sort of things, these sort of, chapters going on in their life where they're all sort of going through underlying similar things.
Yeah. One of the messages that seems to be coming through right now, especially for this time, is to kind of get people to laugh a little bit more, to lighten things up a little bit, because we've been in such serious mode since March 2020, when things kind of really stopped and everything changed as we knew it. And we've been so stuck in this space and this energy of taking things so seriously, with even just with a lot of the different theories that are out there and trying to understand and prove certain things. And I find that, you know, right now, one of the big messages is it's time to kind of lighten the load and really allow the heart to kind of have a bit more of a childlike energy, to play again, to laugh again, to not take life so seriously.
100%. And I think dovetailing into that, the world as a collective has gone through what we could say a part post-traumatic stress situation where everyone's sort of been in and they've been indoors, they've gone withdrawn. And now that they can get out and about, I'm finding people, it's hard for them to get back out and about, to travel or to go and see friends or even to go on hikes and things like that, get out into nature. So it's like trying to get people to acknowledge that and then wean themselves back into what they were doing on a regular basis beforehand. But bringing joy is a key thing, especially with contact and soul evolution. It's like I say with when we're doing group contact in scenarios like that, where I say to people, we want to have fun. We want to have joy. We want to be in this place. Tell jokes, have a laugh, because if we're dead serious about this, it's sort of a shield to these otherworldly beings, not just extraterrestrial, but what's above them. Because like James says, my good friend that you know, Gilliland, he says, the mind you seek is the mind that you connect with. So it's like, do you want to hang out with people that are having a laugh and a good time or people that are serious? It's like, it's as simple as that. And for our own development and own fun and joy, we need to be in that place of joy and bring it back to laughing and cracking jokes. And whether it's watching a comedy or whatever it is that can bring that in, people need to think about that, I think.
Yeah, it's such a good dust off and a good kind of reset laughter. I find like it just kind of, whatever it's sticky, whatever residual energy that you don't want there, it's so good at kind of just blowing it out of your field and resetting everything. Okay, so for everyone watching, when Pete and I were chatting last week, I was guided to not prepare myself for our conversation because I was told that everything would reveal itself with him. And I now understand why, because I don't think I would have even been able to prepare or understand what we're going to talk about tonight. And it's going to be a learning experience for me. I was activated just by you sharing what information you've understood and haven't shared yet before. And I think one of the concerns you said you had and why you haven't shared it is just because it's so complex.
Yes. Yeah. And a lot of it is.
Yeah. And I think though that, you know, when you started talking about it though, it was, this is how I find that sometimes we can sit here in our own heads or even like trying to write things out and trying to understand that. But oftentimes in conversation with someone, there can almost unlock some of the complexity and bring in the words that sometimes we're looking for. And so I'm really hopeful that that's going to happen tonight. And for anyone who's in the audience, if you have any questions that are coming up while Pete is sharing this information, please just remember to put the word question in cap locks and then whatever your question is. The question itself doesn't have to be in cap locks, but just so I can find it. And if you've got some really great questions, then I'm going to ask Pete some of those ones for all of you.
Sweet.
Yeah, so we're going to have fun. Let's just kind of get into it. And actually, don't worry about what the complexity is. Let's just have fun with it and go beyond this galaxy. So let's kind of start there because
yeah,
we were kind of talking about this idea of like different ET contacts. And without any disrespect to ETs themselves, you are saying that what you've been shown and understand, ETs are only like 5% of it, you know, and the planets are
the bottom 5%, even yeah, though they're more than us. So I guess the way that I can go into this, and look, the ETs are our greater family. They're our friends. A lot of them are more enlightened than us, hands down. So it's not putting them down. For starters, we need to get everyone's mindset in a different way, which is, I don't want you to think linear. I want you to think unbounded all possibility, because if you think linear and you think inside a box, this, you're probably going to email me 3 years later after having a go at me going, I get it now, because it happens over and over. And it's not that I'm right or anything like that. It's just what I even find throughout my own contacts, even with trans-dimensional beings and ultra-terrestrials, is that sometimes my consciousness in the human body isn't evolved enough to understand certain concepts. And then later I get an aha moment and they're like, you get it now. So even I go through this. Now, with that said, and it's real, but it's not reincarnation. And why I say this, and it's to get people to think unbounded, reincarnation is a linear concept. And a lot of ETs and a lot of us have memories in that way to get where I'm about to go with this. So reincarnation is a stepping stone. It's real, But the way I describe it is, if we look at even when I did research from what the ETs and Elohim, which are the particular beings that I'll be referring to today, communicated to me, was that all your lives are happening at the same time. So just as an analogy to where it's going to get even more complex, and I'll start it out with this, is that your oversoul, if you imagine it like an octopus, the head of the octopus, and each one of these are lives going on at the same time, well, what can even happen from that point is one of these lives can create another Godhead and create more lives. So we go fractal. And so even though there's a linear aspect to that, the universe will grow fractally. Now, I'll bring it back to a way that can probably set the scene for everywhere we're about to go. And I'm sorry to be going rambling here, and I want you to join in anytime you want as well, because this, what I'm about to say, is probably going to set the context from helping understand where we're going to go from here. It's complex, but it's really not at the same time. So there was an experience where I was shown everything in my physical reality, starting out with grass, going back to plants, to people, that everything's made up on a very minuscule level of these purple hue dodecahedrons. So it sort of looks like a soccer ball. For those people that don't know what a dodecahedron is, they can type it up. It's a geometric form. So they were a purple hue, and then I was pulled out and I was shown the planet is a purple hue dodecahedron, and that the moon and the satellites, meaning the other moons around other planets, and the other planets and the sun star itself was a dodecahedron, that the Milky Way galaxy was a dodecahedron, that all the galaxies were a dodecahedron. And then I got pulled to the edge of the universe, and it was a dodecahedron with billions, trillions of dodecahedrons within it. And they said, like, what I was told was, this is your universe. This is what you say is God, and with all the planes and dimensions within it. And then I turned around and I could see countless other universes which were purple hue dodecahedrons. Now, that's not what everything looks like. I think it's what it looks like when I'm in a certain vibrational frequency, that it was a form of one of the blue, many blueprints of all that is. So basically, to start off here, through the best-selling books, I got also the Shiji material, where she works in sync with the Elohim and the Lord different energies. Now, to me, even me hearing me say all this, I sound crazy. Like, I get it, but I just know what I know. I've got one of the most documented cases in history. It's not out of ego. I'm just saying, if you don't know who I am, go and check out the stuff, because one thing rare with me is I've got a lot of physical trace and videos and photos and witnesses. That's different, you know, but it's just to show, here's the information now from the contacts and do with it what you may. So a way we could describe it is all the universes, which we perceive each universe as God with its own planes and dimensions and interplanes, when combined, they create a greater intelligence. Now, let's reverse it down. We'll scale it down a bit. Now imagine that your body is God, and each cell that makes up the body is all of our oversouls. So your oversoul, my oversoul, everything is a cell of God's body, and that is the purest form of the Elohim. Now, in the Bible, it talks about the Elohim being God, but it's actually gods, it's plural. Now, there is different variation of Elohim beings that their job's not to incarnate, but to go down, we could say, densities, different forms of consciousness and dimensions. And a lot of them, we could say, have jobs outside of source, to where they're stationed in these transdimensional hub stations, to where they assist with energy, codes, and frequencies which project and manifest this reality. Because everything is consciousness and awareness, which goes into a vibratorial state, sound. Sound creates light, light creates physical matter. So everything is consciousness and awareness. We just experience it in different states. Now, this might get some people a bit upset, but if it's structured from light, and even if it's sound in a geometric form, it's illusionary. So even the light beings, they're not ascended to me. They're ascended compared to where we are, meaning they're in a higher frequency. They can teleport, levitate, you know, all the stuff going on. But that to me is not ascended. It's ascended when you're back unified with source. And from that state, from what I've been shown, you can divide off from this universe like a cell divides in two, and you individually as a soul aspect of God will create your own universe, with your own Elohim that will go out within it to explore and gain knowledge for the overall collective. So that's the basis of where we're going to be going today. And I hope that's digestible and I explained it. It's just hard to put this stuff into terms.
No, yeah, you explained it really well. How's everyone in the audience doing? I warned you guys, don't multitask during this episode tonight. You need your full attention. I wasn't joking. So what you're basically saying is that there could literally be universes of us that have been broke. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, all of a sudden you're creating this its own universe, and it's just your a fractal of your soul going out further and expanding and expanding and expanding.
Well, eventually it will divide off. Yes. But what happens is in that greater scheme, all universes, all gods, meaning which it's not male, it's nor female, it's formless, right? But yet it's the existence of everything. That all those new cells of that greater, we'll call it a super god just for an example. I don't even know what to call it. All that's still got a symbiotic relationship as well. So it's like everything's still one. And the way I can explain it, like I did to you and even in the Shiji material, Metatron in the purest form, so the angelic energies, they have dimensional aspects to them like you and I, however, residing in many different dimensions and densities now, they do as well. The purest form and the highest form of Metatron through what's been revealed to me is just a purple energetic form with golden geometry within it. Now, it works in sync with the Elohim, almost like what we could say is the networking in God's body to give everything a symbiotic relationship. It's a byproduct when this universe was created. Now, the good thing about, like I always tell people, if you want to know if it's positive beings you're interacting with, negative, it's the fruit of the information. How does it help you become a better person, to be of service, to help you bring you joy, bliss, all these things, which is what these beings do. But there comes a point where they even say to me, there's still mysteries to us too, which they don't understand. Now, from my understanding, it's not a big bang. It's an implosion, explosion, which creates a toroidal field, and it was showing the dodecahedron at the same time they were when I was seeing this as well. So it also rejuvenates. So the cells in our body rejuvenate every 7 years. What happens with even this universe, it will sort of like implode, explode on itself, creating that field to where it will reset again and do everything again. But what happened in this cycle, meaning the billions of years or whatever we perceive as time, which is illusionary, it will not do the good and bad again. It will do things completely different and up the ante, we could say, to make more of an experience, because all that's gleaning knowledge and experiences for the overall collective. So that's why all of us, when we leave God's source creator, we can have missions. But the biggest mandate is to experience and gain knowledge in as many forms and in as many ways as possible, whether it's extraterrestrial or thought forms or what have you.
Okay. Okay. So question here, because this is just kind of coming in. On that kind of concept then, in that when these cells are recreating themselves, or these dodecahedrons are recreating themselves, They're creating themselves not exactly the same. I would think it's a bit more, like you said, it's a bit more advanced than what they've already experienced, which makes a lot of sense. You'd want to me, the element here of the universe is always to be growing and expanding and learning more. Can we relate that back to this concept of the planet Earth, in this idea of this prison planet reincarnation, and how it's out of flow with the life cycle of this concept that you're talking about?
Yes, this is a big thing in the Shiji material as well, and through the contacts. All right, how do I go about this? So the way it's been revealed to me is that what's happening here on Earth is unlike anywhere else. And even other beings from those other universes, not this, you know, within God's, this God, it's like complete different universes. What's happening here, like particularly on planet Earth, now there is a lot of other star systems and galaxies that have similar things going on, but not to the degree that's going on here. They are going through an elevation in consciousness and growth. But what's happening here is a little bit different. So For starters, the way it's been revealed to me is that we are a super being in the 3D existence. We're a conglomerate of many different energies, which they didn't know what the, we could say, projection of that would look like or be. Now, the Elohim and the angelic energies, the way it's been revealed to me is that we can do beyond what they can do, but we're not aware of it yet, meaning we can do it trans-dimensionally. We are trans-dimensional beings in a way that we think about psychic, being psychic, levitation, all those things. It's like there's stuff that we can do that not even they can do, but we need to be aware of it, and there needs to be a unity consciousness to where the individual is still embraced. But the things that are in play here go back a long time. So the Elohim, basically what's happening is everything in this reality is a projection from the light blueprint. The first beings on every planetary body, even stars, are the Elohim. They first divide off from the light blueprint. As above, so below, they manifest. And then they go through a process working on the light blueprint to create beings that are replicated from them, because they can appear as a head, two arms and two legs, but really they're an energetic form that manifests usually when I see them from a blue orb about baseball size into these 7 foot tall liquid blue light beings. There are ones that look like they're on fire. There's different color versions of them as well, depending on what their makeup and operation's meant to be. Now, with what's going on is after they were first coming here, there was extraterrestrial civilizations using this mainly as an outpost. The main group in recent times, and it's going to sound a bit far back still, is around 20 plus million years ago, the Lyrians were coming here. Now, they weren't really living here. They had it as outposts. We had, Mars, the asteroid belt was a planet. We had Maldek, Melona, you know, Venus, all this stuff going on in the neighborhood. Now, a lot of the material with the history of all that stuff is in the books, and I won't go too much into that now, but what we've got is a scenario where the reptilians were given short custodianship of planet Earth for some time. And it was short because they introduced the R part of the brain to the Earth human, the reptilian brain. It's scientifically got different names, but it's also scientifically the R part of the brain, reptilian brain. This, how it's been revealed to me in the material, is a trans-dimensional biological implant. Now, the flip side of the Elohim is there were those that fell and wanted to stay outside of God's state. And these are master beings, which I would call head of the Archon, Draconian, demonic network, whatever you want to term it. Now, what happened from the knowledge that I've got and from experiences and memories and a whole range of different things where I add the pieces together through the contacts is that they've created these devices that they've spread throughout the galaxy, which is an artificial intelligence. Now, the mandate of the artificial intelligence that they created was these transdimensional devices to hold a frequency throughout where it goes. So they replicate and it grows fractally as well. And it's to hold a frequency to keep civilizations not seeing them and keep them trapped in sort of what we could say draconian fashion, to where they cipher that energy to keep them in existence. It's the only thing that's keeping them from God is that the lower energy. So they want to harvest that from everyone else. Now, the reptilians, what I say, are basically like bank robbers. But they're not the mastermind. Now, it's not saying all reptilians either. What I'll say is that I've used this analogy a lot before. If you're going to rob a bank, wouldn't you rather be the mastermind and get other people to do it? So if they get caught, you're detached from it. It's the same sort of scenario that's going on here.
Yeah.
Now, this still is meant to be happening. And I don't endorse it. I don't endorse the Luciferian. I don't endorse the pedophilia, you know, all the lower frequency stuff. But what happens is there comes a point with your soul evolution and reaching the awakened state that you start to see the darkness is the opposite of the light. And what it has is a purpose. It shows you what you don't want to be, what you don't want to operate in. So what happens is you seeing that going, well, I don't want this part of my reality. I don't want to be operating like this. You start to evolve your consciousness by becoming a loving person, service to others. So in effect, you experiencing and seeing the negative, you're raising your frequency because you're like, I don't want that. So you're going, you're detaching from it more and more and more. And enough of us do it, there's going to be what we could say is cycles of shift because it goes in cycles. So we've got this scenario where due to the reptilians doing that, the Pleiades were basically here for the inception of Atlantis and Lemuria, which Atlantis had many different falls as well. And what's happening is, and talking to doctors, some doctors told me 13,000 years ago, the R part of the brain was introduced. Some say 100,000 years ago. My material is around 300 plus thousand years. And Atlantis and Lemuria were around for a couple of 100,000 years. But the bottom line with all this is that we're a conglomerate of many different beings, not just with, and this is where it gets complicated too, is that the Pleiadians are actually us in the future. Right? And the Lyrians are our ancestors, but they're also the ancestors of the Pleiadians. And the Pleiadians aren't just like Nordic, beautiful-looking beings. They're a conglomerate of a lot of Orions, Assyrians, and extragalactic energies, Andromeda and Arcturians. They're a conglomerate of after the Orion. There was the Lyrian Wars, then the Orion Wars, and then after everyone got their crap together and started having unity, it's like this is the Pleiades is a form of paradise, though they have different timelines where they were still working out their crap as well. This is why some will come across negative type Pleiadians or whatever, which is very rare. But when they do, it's on a different timeline from the projection of what I'm working on and what they've shown me, because some of these Pleiadians are thousands of years in the future, and then other ones are like double their timeline in the future. So this is where it gets convoluted, but we are a conglomerate of different energies, including angelic energies and what they call royal DNA from the Andromedans, which is the Andromeda galaxy. Though we're starting to merge as one galaxy since 2012, the Andromeda galaxy and the Milky Way are actually starting to merge as one. It will take a long time. Mm-hmm. And what's happening here is almost like a cancer to the rest of the universe. But this is where once this changes, we've held back the evolution of a lot of this universe and other universes because it's part of a greater body. So I'm sorry to go on a rant. It's just when if I don't go to the next thing, I'm going to lose it. And you need to understand the next thing, though it may not feel connected.
No, that's why I'm not interrupting you.
Yeah. And if you have to, just do it, because it's just part of this is them working through me as well. I don't talk about that, but it's trying to just get, it's like, oh, and don't forget this and don't forget that. And you've got to say this. So, yeah.
So what you're saying is, so these like kind of archonic implants that have been placed here to kind of keep us stuck in this non-evolutionary kind of energy that doesn't expand and grow upon itself the way the universal energies are intended to, or like this dodecahedron kind of energy that everything is birthed from, is slowing everything else down. And that's why the mission is so strong here, is to release that kind of Earth and whatever else where these archonic implants are in the universe from holding it back. Is that what you're saying?
That's part of it. It's okay. More than that, but that's a very good, what we can say, encapsulation of that. So basically the main thing with it is that what happens, right, is every time you get triggered, you get peed off with your partner or something's on the news or that negative state, the R part of the brain is what lights up.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So what happens is it's ciphering that reaction and it's putting it into the frequency where the AI is, and it's like solar power. It's powering up the batteries now to keep the Archons, the fallen Elohim, in that state.
Yeah.
Because if that dies down, they're going to basically go into a realm where we could say it's the in-between state to where you can connect back with the councils. You go to, right, what do you want to do now, which is a linear thinking. But this is sort of like, this is where it bleeds all together. And so that's sort of like what will happen to them as well, because they're part of the light as well. Everything's still symbiotic. They're a part of us. This ascension is for them as well. But the ascension aspect gets blown out of this community. There is a new earth. There is another dimension. There's raising your frequency, but purely it's raising our frequency in the earthly experience at this time, anchoring these energies and raising the frequency and consciousness of the planet.
Okay, let's talk about that, because that's important. And I think that, and I mean, I've discussed it a little bit on this show before, but I think it's something that gets overlooked, just like you were saying, that even the beings that you've been speaking to, although they can do all of these, they have all these incredible powers that we are working to remember and attain again, doing them in a physical body is a completely different story. And that's something that we're able to do with this DNA, and that's why we're so coveted. Can you go into that a little more?
Yeah, so basically they knew that they had an idea where this would go, but they didn't understand, we could say, the full repercussions. Because, right, so for example, with the R part of the brain. They say that's where fight or flight is. Well, excuse me, how come we had cavemen going back however long and they had fight or flight? What happens is the R part of the brain will amplify it and it siphons that energy. So what we've got is a conditioning here from a conglomerate of all these different races. I think it was around 22 from what I can remember, which includes the angelic aspect on the light body blueprint. Because there's stuff that we're doing here that they're hybridizing people's light bodies into their angelic light bodies to experience stuff through us to gain our abilities and traits. So even though they're angels, nobody can experience stuff like we can on here on Earth. This is why it's so special. The smell of another person, the hug, the touch, love, these things, even emotionally, aren't like this anywhere else, even if it is a physical planet. Now, not the problem, but the situation is the ramifications of this, meaning the end product, which is us. And by the way, we're continuing this by mating in with each other still, you know, different races, because it's still building upon and building upon through mating and having children and offspring and all that is still continuing. One of the biggest hurdles is the amplification of emotions, which was a byproduct of this, because you've got all these energies whacked together. It's like some people are like detached from outcomes. Some people are obsessive compulsive and some people are always energetic and some people are almost like a sloth and they don't want to do much, but you've got all these energies rammed together that this is why it's exciting as well. They didn't know what it was going to do, but in the structure of the physical biological computer, the Earth human suit, as well with the spirit or the soul that's operating within that, because the spirit's more what everything's made up of. If we use biblical term, Holy Spirit, it's everything is God's source creator, where the soul is an aspect, it's a cell of that. So this is where they didn't know what the ramifications were going to be. And because the R part of the brain has been introduced, this is where all the crap started. Because for us anyway, because they tried doing this in Orion, they tried doing this in Lyra, they've tried using portals in other star systems to infiltrate other dimensions to carry out what they've carried here, which is what the Orion Wars was ultimately about, unknowns to a lot of people, because I have a lot of recollection of that, to where there was a lot of reasons they were in Orion, but they're not from Orion. They were in there to put outposts to take over the Horsehead Nebula and the actual stars, because all the stars hook up through electromagnetic tunnels. And what's happening is when the new energies come through, they come through the galactic center, which is source energy coming into a physical manifestation through the stars affect their planetary bodies. And this is why we have earth changes, you know, about the planets and the cycles and all that, how it affects us. This is really the core component of that. And so these beings have tried infiltrating and going through these stars, because also the stars are projecting this reality. This is where it gets crazy, is that they're part of programming this reality with frequencies that are coming from certain star systems that will activate those with soul lineage from those places as well for things to turn on. And this is part of the project as well. So I'm going all over the shop, but it's because it just keeps getting laid. Yeah.
So they were using the part of the Orion Wars was using this tunnel system, or like electromagnetic tunnel.
Trying to get access through those places to get to other places. Okay. Basically to put the AI in there and get it to replicate in a new place. Okay. So it's like, oh, we've got a time to get this device in there. Let's just get it in there. Even if we don't get in there ourselves, it will teleport to wherever this goes to, and then it will start infecting that area as well.
So are you opening a door here of possibility that we as humans with our DNAs are actual portals that could do what they're trying to do through this kind of...
Well, that's the thing with all this. We don't need a spacecraft.
Yeah.
We don't need a computer. We are that advanced from what they've shown me, that through even the human experience, they said, look, for starters, you don't even need the body. But in this body, which is rare, you can do what we can do and beyond out here when we're formless and we're beings of light. Mm-hmm. That's what's rare about the whole situation. So it's like we can teleport or bilocate. We can not just read other humans, but we can read transdimensionally. You've got psychics and people doing readings and in contact. It's like this is the experience of all experiences, because they can break into this physical reality, and sometimes what they've got to deal with is being confined by our physics, our science in this realm, but we don't understand the full science and physics in this realm yet. So it's harder for them to come down, but because we're already so dense, we can only go up, and the lowest we can go is here. The only lower part of this is our own thoughts, which you can experience when you leave the body, where people would call hell. It's basically your own crap coming back at you in your vibrational frequency when you leave the body, that there are beings for this Archon network that will pretend to be a guide, and they'll create an artificial realm to where they'll trap many souls within that. And yet do they know, because they're in this low state, that's like a continuous battery, a continuous source to feed their battery as well. So, but the thing I say to people is don't worry about any of this crap. When you leave the body, you may go through your own life review. But what happens is the more that you start vibrating and realizing you're out of the body and you raise your frequency through intention, the realms will start to skip. And then you'll start to get these beautiful realms. This is why I say the extraterrestrials go up 13th dimension. You could say 20th. I don't care. Everyone's got a different thing. But when you go past those extraterrestrial levels, you start to get to what I say is like another 90% of realms, 95% of realms, that there's no planets, there's no stars, and it is absolute friggin' bliss. And then you get to the geometric light realms, and then you go through a vibratorial state, and then you're in a void and everything at the same time, which is you plug back into source. You're all-knowing. You don't have to travel anywhere, and if you did, you can just sort of pop through wherever you want. Because the way Metatron's explained this, outside of it, is the advanced beings, not all, but a lot of them, they break down to an electron. And because all electrons are basically, they have a symbiotic relationship. So one electron is connected to every electron. It's like one photon is connected to all the other photons, but they use the electron as the teleportation mechanism through navigation of thought. So they don't need a craft. They don't need a flying saucer. They don't need a cigar-shaped craft. And this is why it's been hardcore for me on my journey, because that's where I was at. And then these beings were the first beings really I was interacting with after the guardian beings and Shiji throughout my life, to where I'm like, all right, this is going beyond, I'm going psychotic here. But then, you know, like I said, everyone's seen, experienced these beings with me that's close to me. So this is where the extraterrestrials are trying to reach these levels in their own state of consciousness as well.
Okay. How's everyone in the audience doing so far? I think everyone's liking it. I almost can't even read this stuff because I've got to be so tuned in. It's just like you can't break your...
It's all right. And I'm trying to slow down with my accent and my energy, but it's just every time they kick back in and it's just like, all right, I just hope people can understand it and digest it.
Someone's here just asked... is there a particular geometrical shape that we should meditate on, like the dodecahedron or the Merkaba or the Merkaba? Does it even
you
matter?
Can do. Yeah, I don't think it matters. Like for me, when I'm doing it, and I help people initiate contact, like you spoke about at the start. But the main thing that I say to people is clear your energies, and when you get to that spot, my intention every day, and I have contact on a regular basis, is whatever I need to learn, experience, which could be a contact experience, or glean knowledge on, or have mirrored back at me that I need to work on, give it to me. Because if you set that as your intention, each day you're raising your frequency, you're going through self-mastery, and the experiences are a byproduct of that. Because again, the more that you raise your frequency, like when I'm not talking about this stuff, I'm laughing and telling jokes and this stupid peak. You know, like it's just, that's the way it is. And that's what brings the energies in as well. So you can't get too obsessive and compulsive and serious with all this as well.
No, because in essence, you're kind of denying, your true spirit. And you're also denying the experience of this particular reality, which is why we're all here, to access and activate. So, okay. So then I'm trying to understand with this idea of that, what you were just talking about when it comes to our own DNA and what we're capable of in these physical bodies, what is the potential that you've been shown that is possible when still in our physical bodies, we are able to transcend the limitations that have been imposed upon us through this kind of Archon technology?
Mastership. And what I mean by that is physically or non-physically doing what the masters can do. We could project any form we want. We can go anywhere we want and become physical in that realm or in that place. We can read people like a book, know their good thoughts, their bad thoughts, their intentions, what they've done wrong, what they want to do. You can manipulate matter. You could create planets. You could create solar systems. The sky is the limit because you're operating. It's only just come to my mind. Then it's almost like the Matrix. You are part of it. Therefore, you're able to manipulate it.
I was just going to say, if only, like, I would think it only take a few percent of us being able to do that. It sounds like the power is so strong that it could collapse the entire system that is controlling
this
everyone.
Is why those that will reach it have to be at the level of consciousness that comes with responsibility to it. So this is, I'll give you an example. Some people go, Pete, rape's never going to stop, murder's never going to stop. And I'm like, think about this. If you raise your consciousness, you have no need to do those things. Mm-hmm. It's like the ETs, the advanced ETs, they've got weaponry that could destroy the universe, but it wouldn't because it's not in their realm of consciousness to do it. And most of them have got like basically we could say light structured codes that bang in a light body form is the only one that can activate that. Mm-hmm. So there's safe measures on these types of things as well. So this is where you get to that point, like I was saying at the start, but I didn't include this part, that when you reach that point, you can either become a master and assist other civilizations and be like a spirit guide to the universe, or you can divide off from this universe and create your own universe. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you get to that stage. And unfortunately, this is stunted. A lot of beings here becoming their own universes. This is like with the AI and the lower, what I actually call them the lower light rather than Archon Network and all that. It's the way it's revealed to me because they're dim in their light. They've lost the light and the Elohim abilities they had. Even though they're, we could say, fallen masters, but they haven't got the full capability of what they once had because they lost being in service to others because they became service to self. Mm-hmm. So it's really unbounded in what can be done. But within the physical body, I saw Greg Braden's work recently. I think it was the God Code, where in four different languages, there's God and messages written within the information. And there was stuff like that years ago that was shown to me, and I talked to a geneticist who really knows his stuff. He's a proper geneticist, and I was talking about a lot of this DNA stuff going back nearly 10 years ago in my books, and he said the way you're explaining it is probably more spot on. And I go, what do you mean? And he said, you can't change your DNA. Like, you just can't. Now, I'm not putting down this community, but he said what happens is within the DNA there's cogs, like cogs in a wheel on a bike. And he said, what we don't know is if those cogs turn, maybe the other 90% turn on, which is the abilities turning on. It's lying dormant within it. So it's not the changing of the DNA. It's these cogs of wheels within it that when they turn, they surmise these abilities and everything will turn on, which is part of the physical part of us ascending. But then you've got the spiritual aspect that really, in my experience, when you're out of the body, you already know all that is, has, and ever will be, and can do anything in the highest aspect of that. So that's why, like, to me, death's just a reunification with that aspect of what we already are. Mm-hmm. But it's trying to get the physical body to achieve that at the same time.
Okay, so you just said something big there, because it you know, this idea of we've been, from what I understood, like, especially even in this community, is that there's been a lot of genetic manipulation happening. But what you're saying is it's not so much that the gene codes are being altered, but more that it's like a turning on and turning off of specific things. Like, is that what you're saying?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's got turning to it. So it's not just it clicks once and you've got all your abilities. It's like the way they've explained it to me is it's like you can't go from 0 to 100 with boiling point of water. So what happens is going halfway to boiling point, well, in Australia, we've got Celsius. So we'll say from 0 to 50, right? So of 0 to 100. So from 0 to 50, it takes a bit of time, but you'll notice how quick it happens from 50 to 100 because mm-hmm. it's already warmed up.
Yep.
We're going through that process now. It's like a warming up, and you'll get to a point that it's no holds bar. It's just going to hit that point. When it hits that point, it's game on pretty much.
Okay, so that's kind of what speaks to then the acceleration that I think many people are feeling right now within their own like awakening, just in their own abilities, and then just even downloads, experiences. To me, just everything kind of, there's a definitely an acceleration being experienced.
This really started, to me, the acceleration started around World War II, but it took a couple of thousand years for that to get going. And that's halfway point. I think we're now, I've been in this community for a while, and a lot of people will go every few years, like 2012, we're going to send man, it's going to be the next stage, and then it's another year that pops up in 2020. I'll tell you now, just from my own opinion, I've never felt it like I have now, that we're at that acceleration point. This is a part of self-mastery. Your crap's going to come up. What you don't like, we're going through it individually and as a collective, this purging right now, what we don't want to experience, what we purely can be. So we're really seeing this like ramp up, to me, now more than ever, 100%.
Yeah. Okay. And speaking to that, sometimes, even when you're experiencing the acceleration, I just want to make this point, you can feel really stupid. Because I have felt, and we were kind of talking about this last time, I sometimes feel like I'm not grasping any of the information. It's like, I feel like there's so much going on. And I feel like I'm getting like a little trinket of the information that I know is kind of sitting there. And you were explaining to me that that's part of the process and it's totally normal.
Yeah. Let me explain something more. I remember just so I think this will help a lot of people watching. So when we talked about this the other day, I was like, it's not you, right? So don't think it's you. This even happens to me and they've explained it. So how this all operates unboundedly, universally with all beings is through thought transfer. That's how communication is done. They send it from their light body to yours. It comes in terms, if you're in a body, it comes down through the crown, through the right side of the brain to the left, and we decode the information. What's happening to you is you're interacting with higher dimensional beings it's going up the chain. This is what happens, is that what you're interacting with is going to be boot camp for the next energies. And it's not putting these beings down, but they're boot camp for the next, because you're reconnecting back up and they're doing the same. To put it basically, what you're getting, but you don't understand, like you get it, but you don't. And like you're saying, you feel stupid. Don't feel that way. You're getting the chapter heading. They're giving you a book, and that thought, it might be you're on the right path. That's the chapter heading. Now, all the paragraphs on why you're on the right path, you don't understand at the moment, because it's got to integrate. So all the information sitting here, it just hasn't integrated yet. It's like a massive download that they've plugged the USB stick in. You've seen the file, you're on the right path. You haven't clicked and opened the file yet because it's got to integrate and come in. So it's a lot of data information, and that's where you'll start to get these aha moments. Ah, oh, I get it now. It'll be like an epiphany, like there's been a sheet pulled off you and you feel free, like I get it now. But then it will continuously happen. But the more that you go through those phases, the more that you're rising to the occasion, and you'll get that, you won't have blocks as much or feel stupid as much or why aren't I getting this? It's because it's getting higher dimensional.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's really good for people to know, because I think a lot of us are feeling that. And sometimes you feel like, well, let's just say it, the growth process is not linear. So it's totally normal that you're going to be experiencing, you know, moments of greatness and then moments of like, I don't know anything. And they could be simultaneously happening at the same time. So I think it's just important to remember that. You know, when we were talking about this idea of what we're capable of doing here and what we're able to manifest, if we were to truly tap into that power that's inherent in our DNA and let's just call it deactivate the technology that is being used to suppress that right now, is part of the reason this is what I've understood, and I'm curious what your perception or what your knowledge is on this, that we're meant to take a lot of this knowledge that we gain and this wisdom that we gain here through this experience and take it to other places, whether they're planets or other universes, to help them in their own creation phase. Like what we're needing to learn here is needed in other places. And is that saying that it's kind of holding those places back from receiving that information because we're kind of stuck in this?
Yeah, and other beings ascending, going to the next frequency as well. But most importantly, that information is for God, source, creator, whatever you want to term it. Mm-hmm. So it knows what it's not going to do next time and redo things in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of fun. That's good to know.
But this is the thing, right? If we're in that state, I think I'd probably get pretty bored pretty quick. Yeah, I could teleport, go to different places, but, you know, the saying goes, gods lose themselves to refine themselves. And that's what we've done. We are gods. We're an aspect of God and we've lost ourselves to refine ourselves. And I think if everything was just perfect and great all the time, even though that's what we're striving for here and to bring to this civilization, things might get a little bit boring, which is probably why we divide it from here and then create our own universe and just go, all right, let me just do this by myself and try something different over here. So there's all these angles we could be looking at this on, but yeah.
So basically getting lost is God's journey and having the plan is the devil's journey.
Well, the more that you go down this path, people try to make plans. And what I say is that you get to a point where all you got to do is go with the flow and everything, all the opportunities, the experiences, what you need, it just falls on your lap. Mm-hmm. And it's been one hell of a journey for me to just accept that. And that's where everything's really taken off to be able to be of service more than I ever have. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So kind of just really going almost all the way back to the beginning here, when you say the purple dodecahedron, why is that?
I don't think that's it. I think, see, you got to remember that, yes, the geometric form is still what we could say something that we can articulate as a human. So what I think that was, from even the way that they've sort of in their own way described it to me, is it's a reference point and one of the many blueprints within the master blueprint, the unified field, for something for me to see it in a way that I can digest it and tell it, because that's how it operates up there. It's like our experience, right? For example, right now, you don't see with your eyes and you don't see with your pineal gland. What's happening is with the eyes, we can only see a fraction of 0.005% of physical matter with modern science, is what they're saying. Your eyes are taking in the frequencies. You don't see with it. Your brain's decoding everything. So we're not even seeing one really with our eyes. We're not even seeing 1% of what's in existence. So your brain's decoding it. You're vibrating with this frequency. I've got a computer, a chair, a table in front of me. That's what I'm seeing and experiencing. Pineal gland's the same, but we could say it's got more opportunity for different frequencies to be incorporated. So, for example, our pineal gland is made up of microscopic calcite crystals. It's encapsulated with water and material that's made out of the same material as the cones and rods in our eyes. Now, when you tap it, this is scientifically through papers, and I go through this in Ascension teachings, and Joe Dispenza goes through great work with this. There is a piezoelectric effect. There's color, there's imagery that comes off it. Now I started to connect dots, and with Shiji going, all right, I get it now. Now, Joe Dispenza talks about where you clench the root chakra area and you push the energy up, and what happens is it comes up and it hits the pineal gland. What you're doing is you're knocking on a door to see transdimensionally in the pineal gland. But then I had a thought one day, all right, all the Tibetans and people doing mantras and all that, what happens? Whatever you want to do, this sinus cavity vibrates, is vibrating the pineal gland, bang, a picture comes online. But what's happening is your light body is basically this device, right, for the human body, because you've always got your light body no matter what life, but your body is what you're experiencing. So I said it to you last time, before I go further, imagine, just as an example, your light body is a 7-foot basketball, and the little tiny hole that you put the pin in to pump the air in, that's your pinpoint of awareness into the body computer experiencing here right now. Now, that basketball, the light body, it's picking up all dimensions, densities, frequencies, and what happens is what you attune with is what comes online with the pineal gland. So this is where you've got an aspect of doing the inner work. And we can go transdimensionally. But the point with all this is think about how minimal things are out there that we're experiencing through the body computer when we're only able to see that much of physical matter, not even 1%. Mm-hmm. So basically the realms are basically, we could say, television stations. The aerial is the Merkaba and the pineal gland is the TV screen, transmuting whatever we're in alignment with for us to experience through the pineal gland.
You said all of that, and my focus was so pinpointed on the vibration, the sound, and how it was like, it was almost like stimulating the pineal gland. Like that's what like.
But it does. Like, that's what's, so again, consciousness is awareness, which goes to a vibratorial state. So once you get past the light body, your vibration, but what happens is you've got a cycle. So in order to get to that state, the vibration of the pineal gland is the on switch to activate the light body to pick the frequency, and that's what you're going to experience.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So frequency is key. Mm-hmm. That's probably why it came through for you. It actually is more important than anything else. That's why, for example, when I'm in the presence of these beings, some of them I literally want to drop to my knees and I'm like blissed out like I've had 100 ecstasy tablets, because the frequency is so blissful. But you have to resonate with that to experience them. That's the only way you can experience them and have total recall, is to become one with that. And that's why I say to people, especially for the appointments, what's happening is when you feel energy, temperature changes, goosebumps, certain areas are being hit with energy, is something's energetic field overlapping your energetic field. And if you acknowledge that and work out who it is, every time they come back, you can always pick up who it is just by their frequency. Because they don't have names in the higher realms. They'll give us a label. Sometimes the labels give off a vibrational frequency to interface with that intelligence or a location or a realm. But really, they're operating in omnipresence and acknowledge they're an aspect of it, but they still embrace the individual aspect, but they want to operate for the universal law of everything and be an assistance to others.
So what would you say then, given all this incredible information that you've shared with us tonight, because it's one of those shows where I think a lot of you guys are going to, I know I'm going to be re-listening to it. You're going to listen to it a couple times, because it feels like there's just so much to absorb here. And it's like you said, more clicks as other things come into play. But from what you've just described and what you understand everything to be, what do you think is one of the key components that's being missed by people in what is available and where their focus, I don't want to say should go, but could go?
I think for when we talk about ascension and things in that term, a lot of people aren't going to get it this time. And it's not because they're bad people. Some might be. Well, if we want to start judging now, some people just aren't going to get it this time around, and that's okay. So the baseline for what I'll say is, so long as you give the shit off your back to help a fellow human and be the best person you can and bring some joy in your life, none of this really matters. That's why I see family and friends and other people that I know that don't know this, and I could go here and I'll just do their head in. It's like they're already a good person. They don't need to know this. For others, if they want to up the ante, it's just doing the practices and upping the being of service to others in a way that you can contribute to the evolution consciousness of those around you, but not pushing it on people. It's like if you've got somebody coming to me about a subject that I'm just not into or I don't think exists, how much I would hate them coming to me. Now flip that around and think about how you would affect others pushing your stuff on them. So it's being the observer, being okay with the way things are, and just trying to be the best person that you can. Like, it really comes back to basics. I don't think, look, I'll lock myself up for 3.5 years and meditate in remote viewed 8 to 12 hours a day. I do about 4 hours of practice still a day. Look, it doesn't mean that I'm a guru or anything enlightened. You know, I'm not Muhammad Gandhi sitting on top of a mountain and, you know, look at me. At the end of the day, it's the basics. Just be the best bloody person you can be. And I don't think it gets any simpler than that.
No, and they always say the simplest answer is the right answer, usually, or the best answer, let's just put it that way.
Yes.
And I think, you know, like going back to the idea of like the frequency, what you said there too is so key, and being able to know what you know without needing to push it on anyone else. Because there's nothing more parasitic than having someone try to push their own views or what they're understanding on you when A, you may not be ready for it, or B, you just don't want it, you know, like for whatever the reason. It could be a multitude of reasons. And I think we in this experience, because so many of us go through this, part of the journey is using your voice, finding your voice, being able to exercise and being able to speak up and not be shut down. And so there is this part of the journey that you do go through where it's important to be heard. But then once you get through that level of healing, you almost realize like, well, I hear myself and that's all that matters. And it's that, that's kind of like coming back to that place of peace. So it's not like, I don't want to say to anyone, like, you're wrong for doing that, whatever. We've all got our journey and we're all going to go through and learn. And you've got to, it's like the dark and the light. You've got to experience all of the spectrum in order to be able to know where the middle is. So I think that's important for us all just to like remember and hold on to when things are kind of getting a little shaky, as they always do.
Yes. No, perfectly said. Perfectly said.
So this has been a lot of fun. Let me just see if there's any questions here in the chat. Let me just see if there are any questions. And if you haven't asked a question, someone wants to know about Binbin stones. I don't know what that is.
First time hearing of it. Something I can learn about.
Okay. Well, let's move on. Let me see here. Questions. I think everyone was too busy absorbing all of this incredible information. Wow, you guys were active in the chat. let me see here. Well, I'm not seeing. Okay, so let's just kind of like cap it off here then. Yeah, when it comes to, someone's just asking this question. Our journey is a timeline. How many timelines are there?
Interesting. Something that was revealed to me is that all bits and pieces of the timelines are starting to merge into one now.
And why is that? Why do you feel that is?
Well, how can I explain this? It's part of this evolutionary process that everything starts to merge and refine itself. So we're going through a merging process. This is funny because I was saying this years ago that in 2012, this is when it was going to start. And then somebody was saying with Project Looking Glass, when they started to look into the future past 2012, there was just a white light. And I was saying it must have been the end or ascension. I'm like, no, that's the merging of everything coming together. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But what my experience, which is convoluted when I've spoken to them about this, is that they said it still happens, but it doesn't. And I said, well, what do you mean? How can something still happen and it doesn't? And they said, you're thinking linear. And that's where I wanted to kick them in the shins, because I'm just like, that's a frigging answer you can give me about this. So, you know what I mean? It's like, and that's where they say you're thinking linear. That's why I'm saying to people, I'm thinking you're thinking linear. And I get how frustrating it is, because that's the way that they'll show me, because there was events that were meant to happen through solar events, that some of humanity was going to go underground, some was going to become greys, and then others that were left on the surface, some of them would die and the others would go to Orion and the Pleiades predominantly, as well as other places. And that's why I was talking to them, what's going on with that and what's going on with the timelines, because I remember all this and they were showing me in different contexts this. I'm like, well, what happens? And that was the answer. It happens, but it doesn't happen. Why? Because you're thinking linear. And it's like, oh, so, okay, what so a cop-out of an answer.
This is the information that I'm picking up right now, is that it's almost like, so the convergence happens, and it's almost like the convergence happens in order to collapse everything. But then also, like, when, you know, we were talking about, we didn't actually talk about this. We did, but we didn't on Thursday. But tonight, about the idea of, like, the pinhole and why everything has to be compressed to go through the pinhole. And then, like, it kind of... then be able, it kind of comes in like a zip file, and then it's like unzipped and, you know, and it expands. And so it's like the convergence happens and it all becomes one, but then it's allowed to fractalize again into completely newer timelines.
Yeah. So I guess one way I could explain it is, imagine God's eye, your mind's eye, even in the light body without needing the mind's eye, but in the way that it perceives what it's experiencing, is a cell of God's eye. And it's almost like the information, you know, toroidal field or torsion field, everyone's got a different way they explain. It's like a donut, right? Now, mm-hmm. That's what was around the purple hue dodecahedron. It's almost like things are recycling as it goes up, gets hectic. It's like going down a roller coaster. It goes through and it refines itself and redoes it again.
Yeah, so it's like a rebirthing process.
Yes, but, cycle.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so with the timelines collapsing, like what do they say? It is and it isn't. Like it happens and it doesn't happen. Is this idea of like we do collapse, but then like the timelines separate again, but they're not exactly the way they were before the collapse.
Well, this is where it gets convoluted on top of what we've even said, because I've got to add this to the conversation if it isn't crazy enough already, is that every single thought, you create a new decision. So just say you had a choice to go to three different schools and you chose one. Well, in another offshoot existence, you go to each one of those other schools. Or you might have a husband, but then you could have an opportunity to be with somebody else in another life, you're with them, and then another one, you're single. Mm-hmm. This is where the stuff that I'm experiencing 24/7, why it's already enough for my mind that it's like I've got to the point where if it doesn't assist and help in the now and help me be a better person, what's the use of dwelling on it? Because it just, I could go so in depth to this, and half of the time I'm sitting on the end of the bed at night time, just sitting like this going, all right, having these inner dialogues, because it goes so deep. So that's what I mean. And that's where it's like, well, aren't those timelines or aren't those parallel universes? But you tell me everything squashes into one. But like I say, it's mind-opening information that if anything, it opens one's mind. But like they've said to me, we don't know everything either. We don't know where all this came from. Yeah. We're trying to work that out ourselves, but yet they're worker banks for the overall collective, and it's almost like they've got a limit on their conscious soul evolution as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like all the answers are not known even. Yeah, exactly. And that's the beauty of it. That's what keeps things interesting.
I hope people aren't sitting there with an aneurysm and blood coming out the nose and they've done their head in.
No, I think everyone's good. Everyone's good. So this has been fun. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really enjoyed this conversation. I know that I'm going to go to bed tonight and I'm going to have wicked dreams of downloads and a whole bunch of different experiences on the astral now. Let the audience know what you've got going on and how they can get in touch with you, because you've got some stuff happening.
Yeah, so they can go to petermaxwellsluttery.com or ecityaustralia.org and the new website, jayasanctuary.com, which is where it's my home. I'm opening up for events and workshops and things like that. But there'll be a feature film out in a few months called Multidimensional. And I'm working on a heap of other projects in the meantime. So that's where people can go and find a bit more about myself or look at some of the other stuff I've been doing over 10 years now, I guess.
And when does the documentary come out?
August, September is okay. The time frame they said. Yeah. So the trailer should be out any time. I've been saying that for a few weeks, but there was a little bit of a delay with the trailer, but it should be out any moment. And then that's the time frame for it. Yeah.
Exciting. Well, that'll be great. Well, we'll have to have you back on the show once, the documentary is out and, we can talk about more stuff.
Yes, there's a lot more stuff we can talk about. This is sort of just laying the groundwork, we could say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much, Pete, for coming on the show and sharing your time and your energy with us. And thank you, everyone in the audience, for being here with me once again this week. I love you guys so much. Take care of yourself. Remember, the frequency is everything. So manage yours, take care of yours, love yours. And I'll be back with you guys next week. Thanks for listening and being such a supportive audience. All video episodes can now be found on my personal YouTube channel, Nicole Frolic. If you would like to further support the show, you can visit my merchandise shop or send any donations to the PayPal link in the description below. Remember, a mind is like a parachute. Unless it's open, it's useless. So keep joining me each week as I continue to expand the mind and explore life beyond this reality.